You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, they must have been thinking about that every time they swear it for the rest of the half.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet FPL Does the Euros. My name's Serge.
My name is James.
I wonder at what point we have to stop introducing our names. Probably forever.
You don't want new listeners or?
Yeah, we always get new listeners.
Occasionally, I've listened to a few different podcasts over the last week or so, kind of Euro-based stuff. It really fucking annoys me when people don't introduce themselves.
Yeah.
Don't know who they are.
Yeah, I think it's a classic. One more day of the Euros has gone. Three more games have passed. Goal of the tournament has done and
won.
Dusted.
Yep. Absolutely.
But I was obviously, I didn't watch the first two games intensely working and all that jazz, but did catch the goals and some of the highlights and what have you. But we'll run down the games again and we'll see where we're up to from a fantasy point of view and what have you as well.
A day that will really annoy the XG enthusiasts, as two teams who had high XG got beat and the other one who had a higher XG drew 0-0 with 85% possession. 85% possession.
That was a game yesterday. It was really, really good. But let's start with the first kickoff. Should we do our fantasy teams now or should we leave that to the end?
We can sum it up in about 60 seconds. I got 2 points from Lewandowski and 6 points from Pau Torres. Yes, 4.5 million defender return.
Nice. How many players have you got left to go? Just the
I've
one.
I've got Bruno. So as long as Bruno's in the team, and to be honest, even if Bruno was a sub, I'll bring him in for Eriksen. So it's going to leave me on 70 points with one to play.
I think I've got about 50 points. So not the best week. I had yesterday Bednarek.
I nearly scored at the death, mate.
Yeah, disappointment. I had Alvaro.
Have you got Morata?
Morata. And if you look at it on paper, it's not the wrong buy because he should have put that shot away. Like, come on, one-on-one with the keeper.
Morata has a lot of shots he should put away. I'll worry about him when he's out on the pool, mate.
Yeah. And I had Pau Torres as well. Yesterday, so I think I'm 55 points all out for this round, which is okay.
What you got to remember,
if I look
this
at
game,
it, like just... Depay should have scored, Morata should have scored. I feel like my squad and Mount had that free kick. Like I feel quite comfortable with my squad actually, and it's all right. I'm just having a bit of fun, but it was decent.
What you got to remember with this is that I think for the FPL players, you might look at it and think, oh, I'm not too happy with sort of 56, 60 or so. Remember, there's no bonus points.
Yeah.
Because if you throw in the bonus points, suddenly you're looking at a very good week. I'd definitely have another 6 off Lukaku and another 3 off Radicky, no doubt about it, which would have me on 79. And I'd be looking at it going, that's fucking great, right?
Yeah. So I'm picking players in a game where I don't know half the players. I don't know the formations for half the teams. I don't know the managers for half the teams. I don't know how they're going to play. I know nothing. Like Slovakia, truth be told, my knowledge is meh.
Absolute certainty that Slovakia were going to win after the others like, yep, no one on the watch list from Slovakia. Move on last Thursday. Absolute certainty.
And they played well as well in the first
half.
So, interesting. Fantasy's ticking along, but France v Germany tonight, mate.
Looking forward
hell.
To it.
Am I just... I just think, yeah. I've got this thing, so I've got a TV in our bedroom, and I can't blame the kids, but they just, I'll watch the footy on there and they can have the rest of the house to themselves. They just want to hang out with dad, right? And I'm like, fine, you can hang out with me, but you just don't talk. Like, just I'm watching the football. They just can't help themselves. So I need to find a solution, which might be coming to the office to watch the games now. They just won't shut up.
So Harry has my son, who's 2.5 at the moment, has basically no interest in football. If I want to keep him stum, we stick Formula One on. Vroom, loves all that shit, right? Yesterday, randomly, he decides he wants to stand in front of Poland Slovakia. Stands there watching it for about 10 minutes. I'm like, this is bizarre. Get out of the way, boy. Went the other way.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's funny. I got to see my kids play a bit of football yesterday as well. They've never been the most into football. But the little one, the coach was telling me, one in every three sessions, he puts a bit of effort in. Like he turns up like, I'm going to try it today. He's getting pretty handy. I thought he was
one in three. Who's that one in three effort?
Yeah, no, one in three sessions. He turns up like, I'm going to try it today.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Who's a pro player who like, yeah, he turns up one in three. Ozil came to mind, but I thought I might be being nice there. One in three.
Yeah, and then he is Vinnie Jones, basically, my little one.
Right, okay, yeah. Nice. You brought him up properly then.
He's a thug, mate. He just constantly kicking the other one all the time. It's funny yesterday. So, yeah, football day. Let's talk about Scotland and the Czech Republic first and foremost. I have to say, and we know the Tartan Army bring it, that was an atmosphere where sometimes you look at games and you're like, I want to be in that atmosphere. I'm a bit jealous. And they brought it. And
of course,
that's why.
Guaranteed, mate.
After I saw England on Sunday and I saw the squad that the Scots have, I did think Friday, pretty standard, we'll beat them. But I'm not so convinced now because the way they raise their game so that the team is better than the sum of the individuals is really good. And the atmosphere was lively. Yeah, I have to say, obviously, they ended up losing 2-0.
It kind of depends this one, which side of the fence do you sit on? Because, I mean, if I'd have offered a Scotland fan an XG of nearly two goals before game, they'd have gone, yeah, I'll take that all day long. They missed some big chances in the game. But Czechs had some big chances as well. I think the fact that Scotland had so much of the ball almost played into the Czechs' hands a little bit where they could sit off. But I mean, in reality, I mean, Lyndon Dykes particularly had some great chances. And if they'd have had a top elite goal scorer, we know there's not many knocking about, there's every chance they'd have won this game. In fact, if they'll be shick of it. But if they had the Czech forward playing in their team, there's every chance they'd have won yesterday.
Che Adams looked lively when he came on in the second half.
Well, Paul McAnulty told us last week, didn't he? So if he goes one up front, it'll probably be Dykes rather than Adams. We were a bit surprised to hear that. He was spot on, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But I thought Che Adams was decent and showed a little bit of quality when he came on. Andy Robertson was Andy Robertson, mate, up and down that left wing really well. But can't fault the Czechs in the end. They took their chances really well. And yeah.
Your man Sheik scored two brilliant goals. The header's brilliant, assisted by your pal from West Ham, Vladimir Soufal, who I know was a... You didn't get him in the end,
No, it was a bit expensive, I thought, but...
At five, I felt the same, yeah. Mm. But I know there's plenty of... Obviously, did go with him mainly for this first game, so well done. And obviously, Thomas Souček provided... You have got him, haven't you?
Yes.
Provided you with assist of the tournament.
Wow. Talk to me about... I mean, I watched this goal a few times and I'm just trying to think, what could he have done to make it better? Like sometimes people take these shots from the halfway line and stuff and they get a bit lucky, the keeper fumbles it or cocks up or whatever. He couldn't have hit just the fade, the dip, the pace, what he did to the keeper, all of it together. Just was phenomenal. Hit it first time, left-footed shots always seem to look sexier than right foot. Everything about it, I could watch it again and again and again and again.
I said they'll be sick of it. I was in the office watching the game, so we've got those desks, all social distancing and whatever. I've got headphones on, listening, watching the Scotland game. And obviously, sometimes certain things happen in football where involuntary noises come out of your mouth. And this was one of them.
Yeah, man.
And I don't know what the reaction to me was in the rest of the office. But yeah, it was a wow. Involuntary shit coming out of my mouth. I've heard loads of criticism of A. Hendry having the shot, which was blocked, which rebounds into Schick's path extremely fast. A lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't shoot there because they didn't have cover back. But actually, it's no different to if he tried to pass the ball and didn't get the pass away. Yeah. Actually, in situations like that, when in doubt, you think, oh, I'm going to give the ball away. Best thing to do is smash the thing. Mm. You can't think that it's going to ricochet like
no,
that.
No, no.
And there's been criticism, obviously, Marshall was far off his line. But same thing, you can't expect that. It wasn't like...
They're
it
in
broke
control,
down.
Right?
Yeah. The ricochet off Souček was so far straight into his path, and he's looking, isn't he? He's in his own half, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
and Marshall knows what he's going to do as well, and he is pegging it back. And the fact that Marshall ends up looking like he's had a night out with Spider-Man really just added beauty to the goal as
completely,
well.
Completely. Yeah.
I was, because you could see the net wasn't quite right for the rest of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have been thinking about that every time they saw it for the rest of the half. Yeah. That net doesn't look quite so right anymore.
Mm. A goal what like a that goal. Deserves 3 points. So credit to the Czechs.
Weldy, mate.
Was there anything from that game that made you think that the Czechs or the Scots might give England a bit more trouble than we think? Or do you think England should be beating both of these and going through?
In a word, no. Actually.
And is there anything that you saw that you think Croatia might not now finish second in the group because one of these two sides could give them a bit of trouble?
No.
Right.
To be honest. I mean, if the Czechs get a draw against Croatia on Friday and then England are potentially rotating the team, should they win on Friday, then against the Czechs next Tuesday, then that obviously puts the Czechs in a great position to be finishing second in the group.
Yeah. I'm actually quite... I'm not glad the Scots lost because I'm not anti-Scottish.
No,
whatever.
I wasn't.
But what it does do is it makes the Friday night game for Scotland a must win.
No, I don't think it does.
Well, they've got to get something from the game.
If you
they
could,
can't lose it.
Obviously, they'll go mental if they win. But I think if you offer them a draw to take it...
Yeah, I think you're
and
right.
You just got a one-game shot against Croatia.
Yeah. You're right. I was probably... But they have to get something from the game. They can't lose that game, Scotland. Can they lose and go through?
Yeah, they can, yeah. Because you could finish third, and it probably comes down to goal difference, which losing 2-0 doesn't help, by the way.
I don't
foresee Scotland... It's difficult to foresee Scotland finishing from here on a positive goal difference, which is actually... That's going to count against... There's other teams who've won. If you look at, say, Austria beating North Macedonia 3-1... They could lose the last two, maybe by three goals, and they might finish on a minus one. Scotland have probably got to match that, right? And if they're winning one and losing one, that becomes difficult for them to be one of the third place teams that go through. So I think they'll probably need 4 points to go through. But I mean, there's a set of results. I mean, if England win on Friday and then Croatia win on Friday, then they've got two teams of above them on 3 points. Scotland would then play Croatia and obviously hoping England beat Czech Republic. Then again, it comes down to goal difference, doesn't it? And they could all finish on 3 points technically.
Yep.
So in theory, Scotland could finish second on 3 points. It's extremely unlikely.
Let's talk about Poland and Slovakia. A game that, again, similar to the Austria game, I was like, meh, going to sit through this because, or sit through bits of it because... I should, but I'm not really that excited or enthused about this game. I don't see any of these sides going particularly far. But in the first half, from what I paid attention to, Slovakia were decent. I think good going forward. Poland started
it
the second
well.
Half strong and came back into it. Lewandowski, quiet. I thought I didn't see enough from him.
Yeah,
I think... With Lewandowski, it's probably a case that the rest of the team around him are not quite good enough. And once the fella, the number 10, what's his name?
For Poland?
Yeah, got sent off.
Kukoviak
got sent off, then it's going to be quite difficult, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, having equalised and at 1-1, you probably
they had a bit of momentum.
And that obviously killed it a little bit. And Slovakia scored quite quickly afterwards. Lewandowski had one chance quite early in the game where he was running at the two centre-halves, and he was 20 yards out, and I thought, hit it. And he pulled back onto his left foot, and I think if he'd have been playing for Bayern, he'd have just hit it. It's one for those who said that it's 11.5 million for a Poland forward. You're looking at hindsight, and everyone goes, yep, you're right, yeah, shouldn't have paid that money for it. But I think Slovakia were better than what I'd anticipated, in fairness. As we said, they countered during the game really well. Hamžik has still got a little bit about him. He's got very good experience. Obviously, played a part in the first goal, which was brilliantly taken by Mac. I have no sympathy for the great Wojciech Szczesny, the first goalkeeper to score an own goal at the European Championships. Duda looked quite lively up front, our old friend from Norwich City.
Yeah.
And Skriniar scored the winner. He's very highly rated at centre-back from Inter Milan. And I can see yesterday while Tottenham and I think United possibly and a few others have been looking at him. He's a good all-round defender. For Poland, massively disappointing. I was thinking when Krychowiak got sent off, actually, I was thinking about him and watching our friend OK Yüksülü of Turkey on Friday night. I was thinking, is the team going to win a European Championships with a former West Bromwich Albion player as a holding midfielder? Sorry to the Baggies fans out there. If there's any other Baggies holding midfield players at this championship, do let me know. I think that's a bad, bad result for Poland, actually. And Slovakia, I think, deserved to win, really. But, I mean, their XG was low in the game, right? I think they had XG of 0.4 or so.
Yeah.
Slovakia.
I don't know if international football you get massively high XGs in any way, Matt.
Well, for Scotland had two yesterday. Just under two. So, I mean, there were a lot more chances in that Scotland game. I loved the Czech keeper save from the nearly own goal as well. Probably save at the tournament so far. These two didn't thrill me. And it's interesting that I think Denmark and Poland were the two who people were speaking about, and obviously Denmark's got situations around it. We thought, oh, these two might break out and win the group, actually. And it obviously doesn't look that way now, does it?
And we'll move on to Spain-Sweden in a second. But if you look at Spain-Sweden, Sweden defensively were really organised. Like they just looked, every time Spain had the ball and passing around Sweden, they knew where they needed to be. And so can I see Poland breaking down Sweden? I can't particularly. Slovakia had a little bit more about them. That would be quite a close game, but it almost might be Poland that don't go through in this group now from where we were, what we were thinking. So interesting to watch now what happens in the rest of that group. Having said that, look, Sweden was a draw. So Slovakia now sitting top with 3 points and Poland zero. So everything's to play for.
To be honest, everybody who's lost a game still knows that 4 points are going to go through. So no one's dead or out of it yet. It just,
sure.
Teams like Poland and Scotland have obviously made life a lot more difficult for themselves, that's all.
And then moving on to Spain-Sweden, I mean, from a purist point of view, watching Spain knock the ball about, but not just knock the ball about, but the way it felt to me so often that they've got more players on the pitch than Sweden. Like every time Sweden got the ball, I'm like, why? How are there so many Spain players hustling around? It feels like they've got a couple of extra bodies around to just get about the pitch so well. Their pressing and the way they set themselves up is so good.
Do you want to hear some mad stats?
You're going to tell me about the passes in the first half. Was it 410 in the first half? Was the most ever or something? I remember
830 passes in total.
It's ridiculous, mate.
To Sweden's 89. There's a better
one. Was that 89 for Sweden? Yeah, only in the whole game.
89 accurate passes.
I thought it might be like 150 to 200.
There was a better one.
89.
So if you're looking for a Sweden defender for your fantasy team, which might well be tempting, if you think, oh, clean sheet against Spain, Poland, Slovakia to come, if obviously you're not using any chips in this round. You know, Marcus Danielsson, fairly obvious, he's the 4.5 and was getting kind of rave reviews for his performance yesterday. And he did defend very well. So did Victor Lindelof alongside him. Marcus Danielsson completed 6 passes during the game. Fabian Ruiz, who came on for Spain with 3 minutes to go, completed 11.
And look, Spain had 85% possession or something ridiculous like that. So Swap. You can understand why. But I don't think I've ever seen a match with a team that have completed less than 100 passes. I'm trying to rack my brain in Premier League and anything. I don't think I've ever seen a less than 100 passes completed in a game.
I'm sure it has happened.
Of course it will have done.
I'm thinking it's got to be a Man City Newcastle having game said that, somewhere in the last few years.
I mean, look, Spain... I've got Morata in my fantasy team, right? And had he put that chance away in the first half, it'd be funky dory, and he's playing up top for a team that are creating a lot. He's 9 million compared to the price of some of the others. It's not a bad price. But then I remembered he's Morata.
I was listening to Guillaume Balague on BBC's podcast this morning on my way in, and he was saying that one of Morata's biggest weaknesses is actually he's not very mentally strong, actually.
Instinctive. Like, if he just has to not think and put the ball in the back of there, he's probably better than when he's got time and space.
Basically, the Spain fans don't want him in the team, and they made everybody in Seville very aware of that last night. So I think there's every chance now that Moreno will come into the team for the game against Poland, which I want to say is on Friday, or is it Saturday?
I'm not sure, James. I don't know if it's...
It's the last game, I think, Saturday night.
Right.
I think Moreno will probably come into the team now, mm-hmm. which is not going to be a problem for you this week if you're going limitless.
Limitless, but...
And that's an interesting one, because if you are going limitless and you want to take that game, I think Moreno against Poland sounds quite appealing now, actually. But the impulse in you is, well, I've got unlimited funds. I want to spend the unlimited funds.
Yeah.
Now I don't want the 6.5 million forward. It might be he's more interesting, and Spain generally are more interesting actually for the final game, because having dropped points here, it might be that they still need to go and get a good victory in the last game against Slovakia. So I think Moreno will come round to people's radar. Simon obviously played in goal, so we've got some clarity on that now. I found it a little bit awkward watching Laporte at right-sided centre-back. Not that he played badly or Pau Torres played badly, not at all. I've spoken about this loads of times in the past. It's just very uncomfortable watching the left-footed player at right-sided centre-back. Pedri's obviously got great ability. This team, though, has got a goal-scoring problem.
Massive. It's exactly that. I thought the same. Like, they'll dominate games, they'll keep the ball, they won't score goals.
I think Dani Olmo looked more threatening throughout the game than Ferran Torres. Obviously, had the header in the first half and another long-range effort. I don't have that feel of real goals in those two players, though. And when you look across the substitutes, I don't really have that in terms of... We've watched Spain teams before have very good forwards, like David Villa, even peak Fernando Torres going back to like 2008. We've also seen them play with like Cesc Fabregas at false nine and stuff. But when they had that, sort of around 2012... they had great attacking midfield players who would cover and score goals. I don't get that feeling with this at the moment with Spain. And I think we're probably looking at the majority of their games in this tournament probably being quite low scoring, unless Moreno's going to change that. And he obviously had a brilliant season for Villarreal. As I said, I expect him to come into the team now. I also think they weren't helped. Pitch weren't great, was it?
I can't say I particularly noticed, but probably
just
not.
Just looked bare in certain areas, and it didn't look like it had been watered properly. Yeah. It didn't run through properly, which I think led to a slower tempo than what Spain wanted at certain points of the game. When you're killing a team to death, if the ball's not running properly, it obviously becomes a little bit easier.
I would feel like that
defend.
Spain team, just replace the striker with a Pique Costa or Fernando Torres, and suddenly they're a threat again that could win and go all the way. But without that talisman up top, they're not quite good. There's a lot of teams in this tournament that are good, not great. And they'll give anyone a game. And on their day, if Spain beat England, you wouldn't be massively surprised, because they'll probably keep the ball 60-70% of the time. But they probably won't. There's quite a few teams that can beat each other. But the cream's going to rise to the top in the end, I think, with Germany and France and that.
I think they're in transition. At the moment, Spain, which is,
I mean,
is not
a
bad
good
thing.
Young players in that team. Right?
Yeah.
And, they're Spanish. It sounds a stupid thing to say, but they play the same way as all Spanish teams ever have. So it's good that when you get teams in transition, they lose identity or change the way they play. They haven't lost that identity. They just didn't have the personnel, and these kids are coming through. Yeah. And I did like the young kid Pedri as well. I mean, looked tidy. He looked fucking 12, though. He just looks young.
Tidy player.
So young.
I think Gary Lineker summed it up best when he said that Messi doesn't mind giving him the ball is a sign that he's a good player.
Yeah, of course.
Super talented player. There's a little bit of Iniesta in there, which is a naughty comparison to make. But he's 18. Let's see where it goes. I think in terms of those on Limitless, especially with Poland's result last night, you kind of feel like you want to target them. So I think Simon's interesting in goal. Jordi Alba at left back. I think I had a few people saying last night they thought Gea might come in and replace him. He's captain. I don't really see that now that he started the tournament, Jordi Alba. But to pick the forward players like Torres and Olmo, I'm not convinced, you know. I'm not convinced at all. So I can see me going without Spain attacking players this week. Must give a shout out to the Swedish forward, Alexander Isak, as well, who had a great league season. I'm really impressed last night. Those who've seen a bit of him, I think, were like, yeah, watch out for this boy. He's a good player. and he had two big moments in the game, didn't he? The original shot, which was deflected, I think it was off Llorente, wasn't it? I think it was actually going wide before it hit the post and then fell into Simon's arms. And then the brilliant run to set up the chance for Berg in the second half, which is the irony of it, was for all the domination that Spain had two massive chances in the game. That one for Berg was the best chance in the whole game. They could have nicked it. Spain notoriously, a little bit like England, start tournaments quite slowly. You know, they lost to Switzerland in 2010 in the opening game before going on to win the tournament. And I think they had an excess of 80% possession in that game as well. Sweden are one of them who, I don't know about you, England have played them a lot over the last 20, 30 years or so in tournaments. And it's always one you're kind of a bit like, I don't look forward to that.
No, there was times where Spain had the ball and you could just see their banks of four or however they were lined up defensively, organised, cutting out the space. As well as Spain were passing the ball, they needed to do something good to break them down. And in the end, they couldn't. And that's why it went that way. That was a really enjoyable game to watch for me because of what Spain did.
Oh, it was far better than your everyday 0-0. Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good game. So excited and interesting. A good day's football, but it's all about 8 p.m. today. France, Germany. I am ready for that one, mate.
Yes, I think it's the game most of us have been looking forward to the most. Shout out to Sebastian Larsson as well of Sweden. Yeah. 36 years of age, lasted through the game, worked his socks off. When I saw him in the team, I was like, "Whoa!" I had Yuri Zhirkov flashbacks because we didn't talk about him yesterday. But he's played like, what, one game this season? Yuri Zhirkov played for Russia on Saturday at like 38 years of age. And mate, his body was dead after about 10 minutes. So fair game to Larsson for getting through that. I would expect both these teams to, Spain obviously, I would expect Sweden to go through as well.
Yeah, I think they'll just be too organised. They won't batter the other two. The threat is Slovakia. I think Slovakia-Sweden is going to be quite a good game, and that could potentially be a decider.
Well, interesting from Slovakia's perspective now, how do they treat that game? Because they're probably, Spain last. Do they want to leave themselves going into that? To be honest, if you'd have offered Slovakia going into the tournament right point against Spain to go through, they probably would have taken it. But they can get the job done with just a point against Sweden, basically, at the weekend. And it'd be interesting to see how they play that out. If Slovakia just sit off Sweden, like what worked for them yesterday against Poland, I suspect that's the way they'll play. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, Slovakia get another result.
Yep, indeed. What do you think on the France-Germany game? Do you think that both sides will go for a win and start the tournament with a bang? Or do you think they both know, look, we've got Hungary in the group as well, which we're both going to beat, so let's keep it cagey. If we all walk away from this with a draw, it's not the worst scenario.
I don't think either team will complain at walking away with a draw, but I don't think either of them will be setting out to play the game that way.
Right. They'll both go for it.
I think so. Mm. Fingers crossed it will be a cracking game this evening. Mm. The pressure of today's games is obviously on Portugal.
Yes.
Which kind of, interestingly, I tipped it up last week to be a game I thought it might be a surprise in, because full capacity in Hungary tonight, but the home teams haven't done great. And actually, it was interesting yesterday in the Scotland game. I know you mentioned the support was brilliant, but there was a couple of points at 2-0 where the frustration, you could feel the kind of negative energy coming out when Scotland were overplaying a bit at certain times, defending against Scotland overplaying. But I think the crowd wanted them to just get the full forward, because when they did, they were obviously creating opportunities and stuff.
For sure.
And you could feel that negative energy coming off. And yesterday with Spain and the whistling of Morata and stuff, in many cases, it's had a negative impact. Whereas if you think of England at Wembley, there's been so much about the taking the knee and stuff. I think
it's overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm. Good, good. There we go. That's today's kind of rundown on the Euros. Tomorrow will be interesting because we're limitless.
Was there anyone from those games yesterday that stood out to you to make you think, yeah, I want them on a limitless chip this week? Because it was one player for me that stood out who came onto my radar who didn't play yesterday.
On limitless?
Yeah.
Moreno?
No, it was actually someone who wasn't playing yesterday, who, having watched the game, made me think, yeah, don't mind him as a punt.
Which team?
Croatia. Old friend of mine. Player you know I rate.
No.
Perisic.
He hadn't played in the previous game, did he? Obviously,
well, no, he played for Croatia on Sunday, but didn't play in the game. Sorry, yesterday.
That's why you're confusing me.
What I noticed when Czech Republic played Italy in a friendly, when I was doing some research on Italy, was the Czechs overcompensate. They go over to one side too much,
right?
To overcompensate, because they don't like people playing in pockets for them. So what you've got to do against them is spread the play quite quickly. And Scotland had a chance yesterday, which was very similar to the goal Insigne scored against Czech Republic in that friendly, with the chance they created for Andy Robertson in the first half. Again, overloaded to one side. When the play got switched, actually they were in trouble. And there is a left-to-right bias on it. So, you know, if they can spread it to Perisic, I can see him having one-on-ones and doing some damage against the Czechs, actually. So
That'll be against Soufal.
Yeah.
The Warrior. He loved that guy.
Brilliant, Soufal. Where was he at that moment, though?
Yeah, true. But I think it'll be interesting. Like, don't get me wrong, it's a completely different team setup structure. But quite possibly. I can't see myself going down that road, but you never know.
I think Spain most likely for me would be Jordi Alba. Mm-hmm. But we'll go through our teams tomorrow
Limitless
morning.
Tomorrow, because once France-Germany is done, that'll be it. Time to hit the button on it and tinker around. So stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll be live. I mean, YouTube premiering about midday, and the podcast, as soon as we record bright and early, will be out for you. Patreons, if you want to head over to Slack, you can get your questions in for the Q&A that we're recording today. Tomorrow, Premier League fixtures are out.
Boom.
So we will be recording a podcast for the patrons all about that. And on Thursday, a bit of Tottenham. You got a manager yet?
Any minute now. Any minute now. We've got a managing director. Does that count?
Well, it depends if he can manage. So we will be recording Tottenham on Thursday.
It's more a case of if Daniel Levy lets him manage. Yeah, it's probably exactly. More the point.
So stay safe wherever you are. Thank you again for all of your support. Reminder on the Patreon, if you sign up in June, July is actually free, and there's going to be a ton of content in July because obviously the games will open. We've got all sorts going on with that. So might be worth considering, and the Slack community is growing stronger and stronger every day. But as I said, stay safe, enjoy the sunshine. Chat for now.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck today. Cue music, please, Manchild. Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.